Having an illness or a disability is stressful. It brings up lots of negative emotions, such as fear, anger, sadness, and anxiety. It's easy to get caught up in or commiserate around these feelings, but study after study shows that stress is detrimental to the body and the mind. Physically, it weakens the immune system and is connected to a host of illnesses. Mentally, stress breeds more stress, making it debilitating and contagious. For someone living with a disease or disability, stress can further compromise health and impact relationships with those most important, families, friends, and caretakers. Because of this, Beyond My Battle focuses on helping people with diseases and disabilities get to the root of their stress so they can better detect, manage, and reduce it. Beyond My Battle is a not-for-profit organization founded by Martel Catalano and Nell Pritchard in 2016. Beyond My Battle, Art with Heart and Hope is an exhibition celebrating the healing power of art for those with illnesses, disabilities, and caretakers. The event takes place May 9th from 6 to 9 at the Spring Street Gallery in Saratoga Springs, New York. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Martel Catalano to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. It's lovely to have you on the program. I thank you very much for being here. Give us a sense of how you came to start this whole project, Beyond My Battle. You and a friend, but not someone that you knew for a very long period of time.
Correct. So my friend, now a dear friend of mine, Nell, we had recently been introduced by our parents because they both realized after reconnecting after many years that they had daughters that were similar ages, both living with rare diseases, very, very different from one another. Nell happens to have cystic fibrosis. I have a rare eye disease called retinitis pigmentosa. And upon meeting, we realized that we had all these really similar emotional characteristics, and we were dealing with life challenges that were very much the same while going through very, very different illnesses. So it stirred in us this emotional drive to help other people going through exactly what we were going through. And we realized that it may not be through surrounding yourself with people who have exactly what you have, but by diversifying the environment, we were able to connect with people on those deep emotional levels a little bit more.
There are wonderful groups that take care of the different diseases and different illnesses that people have. But this, as you say, goes to a deeper level, and it focuses on helping people to get to the root of what's going on. And what's going on, as I indicated in the introduction, is very stressful.
Right.
So how do you mitigate that? How have you found to be able to move past that and deal with that?
Well, first, acknowledging it. A lot of people living with chronic illnesses and disabilities, or even living as the caretaker of someone with a chronic illness or disability, it's a hard thing to just acknowledge that it is stressful, that it is sad, that there is anger or anxiety surrounding it. So I always say the first thing is, as with anything in life, is just acknowledging its presence. And then there's so many wonderful things that we can do, and that's what Beyond My Battle has been working towards, developing educational resources that teach around what these kinds of tools and these kinds of modalities that we all have within us, whether it's going outside, whether it's meditating or taking care of your relationships and learning how to communicate better with your support system. We all have the ability to do these things. And those are just, some of the things that we really feel passionate about educating around.
Is it something that you break the glass or pull the trigger when you need it? Or is it a way of life that you have to employ to just help with your all-around well-being?
That's a great question. I always say that it is definitely a constant, and it goes through ups and downs. I mean, as someone who has a rare condition myself and who has learned over many years how to manage it and how to communicate around it and how to build a support system at home around it, it's a journey, and it's ongoing. So there, it kind of ebbs and flows, and no, I wouldn't say that it's like you have a light bulb moment and then you get there.
Right. Or that you need to say, oh, God, I need to do this now because I just need to calm down.
Yeah, and we all have those moments where it's like, oh my gosh, I feel that state of overwhelm coming on. Here I go. Here's maybe a practice that I've learned to mitigate that or reduce that kind of stress as it is becomes very acute. But it as you build up your toolkit, as I would like to say, with different means and strategies of doing that, you become more aware of what your triggers might be. You become more aware of how you may communicate around it best, who you go to communicate. And again, like I said, the tools that you use to reduce it.
I want to get to that toolkit in a second, but before we do, it is okay at some point to say to yourself or to others, hey, this sucks.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no denying that it's challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Part of it.
So, yes. So, as far as the toolkit, when we talk about this wonderful event that's happening on the 9th at a gallery, so this is just one thing in the toolkit.
Sure. Yeah. It's we have an online toolkit that we call the Emotional E-Toolkit because it's filled with tools that have that are totally free, first of all, and that are made accessible to anyone, anywhere, because we acknowledge that when you're living with an illness or a disability, you may not have the ability to go somewhere. You may be a little bit less mobile, or maybe on an emotional level, you just don't feel ready to go seek that kind of learning or that kind of educational immersion. So that does exist on our website as the toolkit. The art show that we're having kind of builds on that, because art is definitely an additional tool that people use to reduce their stress and to move towards calmness. The show exhibits artwork from people who have chronic illnesses, disabilities, or are their caretakers. And it also is a storytelling exhibition because we've asked all the artists to submit a statement about how art has helped them move beyond their personal battles.
Have you used art yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. So how does it work for you? How does it help?
I really believe that art is a strong stress reducer because it allows you to kind of step outside of yourself and hyper-focus basically on the activity at hand and come more into the present moment, which as we integrate mindfulness more into our lives and as is a huge part of Beyond My Battle, we know that being present helps us feel better, body, mind, spirit, whatever you want to call it. It helps us be in the now, and it helps us really bring that nervous system back into a state of balance that we all need for a healthy lifestyle. So art is a great way to do that. Whatever kind of art you enjoy, painting, poetry, music, it's all right there.
How would you describe your art? What is it?
it's changed over time, but lately I mostly use watercolors.
Yeah. And is it landscape? Is it abstract? I hope.
Mostly landscapes. Yeah. Yeah, I love the Adirondack region. So I tend to paint a lot of Adirondack type scenes in my watercolors.
Beautiful, beautiful thing to paint, of course. Mm. When it comes to this idea of a battle, I love the name of the group, Beyond My Battle, because we think of it in that way. It's you're fighting cancer, you're battling this disease, there's always this struggle, and those are terms that are probably accurate, but they're also very exhausting, I would think, and that at some point you just want to step aside and say, all right, well, I'll do what I have to do, but I don't want to fight right now.
Right. Yeah. And the name does insinuate that. It also, it sort of serves in two ways. And the reason we chose the name was because of exactly what you said, as well as this, we wanted to remind people that you are more than your battle with illness or disability. Who you are is not defined as you being a chronically ill individual, you having cancer, or being the mother of a child with a disability. You are beyond that. You are more than that.
I also think it's interesting that you and your friendship with Nell, that while the illnesses are so different, that there are so many commonalities. There's so much that you have in common. And I assume Nell isn't the only friend you've made along the way through this project.
No, not at all. As we've started this project, it's funny, I've met so many more people. I feel like just the universe has brought us together, and I've met so many individuals, whether it's someone with a chronic illness or someone who loves someone who has recently passed or whatever it may be. There is such an underlying theme of like you acknowledged in your introduction, is of stress, and stress takes so many forms. People live with these conditions or live with loving someone with these kind of conditions in their own unique way, and it could be in a way that has been more depressed or more anxious, more angry.
Right. Yeah.
There's so many forms that it can take.
The other thing too, and you've mentioned it a few times, and I haven't, and that is, and I'd like to address it directly, which is that of the caretaker, mm-hmm. the person, the loved one, the person who is with those who are beyond the battle. Well. That's a tough job.
It's very stressful. Maybe sometimes more stressful.
Because you have the worry, you have the concern, you have, in some case, the duty to care for the person, physically and literally. Do the two commingle in the sense of when you get these two groups together of even in the toolkit online, are the same strategies good for someone who is working with a loved one or a friend who has the illness as it is with the person who has the illness, or is it good to separate and have almost a bonding experience for those people who are going through exactly that same thing of caring for someone that they love?
It all comes together because the tools and the approach that we take is so rooted in mindfulness and so rooted in just overall stress management. And we always bring it back to, you know, research and evidence that proves that it is effective and why this can be especially effective for someone maybe with a compromised immune system or someone who is a caretaker. But you're right. Sometimes we do have to distinguish between the two because the emotions that might come up for the individual who's ill or could take a different form than that of the caretaker. And we teach a lot about empathy, a lot about understanding what the other person is experiencing. And that looks different, you know, depending on which side of the lens that you're on.
I've done a lot of reading on empathy. I've been fascinated with by empathy and a lack of empathy. And how do you teach it?
That's a great question. It's definitely learned. I think we are sort of born with this empathetic state because, you know, the parent-child relationship requires it. But then over the course of our existence, it seems that we tend to lose it. It sort of gets muddied in society and we're told to kind of look out for ourselves. And that's just the way that the world works in the age that we live in, unfortunately. So we do have to kind of reteach it to ourselves. We have to relearn it. And I think that you teach empathy best by imagining what the other person is going through and really putting yourself. So if you're the individual who's ill and you have parents, maybe you haven't really thought about what it's like for them. And just asking yourself that question, wow, my parents must be really stressed sometimes, or they must be really sad sometimes when I have to ask for help or when I'm unable to do something the way that their imagined child would have. And it's just kind of role reversal. That's how I would teach it.
Mostly. Yeah. Are you at a place where you think of this work has become sort of in and of itself, there are the techniques that you are sharing and the toolkit, but then for you personally, there's just the overall mission and the work in the group, which must help as well.
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to, for me at the end of the day, knowing that stress makes us more sick. Yeah. And a community of people that are already sick or are caring for someone who's sick. We don't want people who are sick becoming more sick than they already are. I witnessed it in my own life as someone with, I just had an eye disease, and the stress that I was witnessing in my younger years, mostly because I was in denial about it and I was dissociating from it, it made me sick in other parts of my body. So I was like, wow, I have to do something to help people reduce this stress, because we can't let people who have chronic illnesses become more sick. And more than that, when there's the caretaker who's involved, they need to be able to be the caretaker. And if they're so stressed that they're sick, they can't be that support system that is necessary in that situation.
The word you've used several times, and I should probably, I obviously know what you mean, but mindfulness. What is a good definition of mindfulness?
The definition of mindfulness that I really like is acknowledging the present moment with curiosity and without judgment.
Well, that's great.
It's not as hard as you think it is.
No,
but
curiosity is great.
Yes.
Because you can think, and then what you find out, you don't judge.
Right. It's just being with it.
Just understand it and say, okay, this is
what I'm feeling.
This is this.
Exactly.
This part of my body is blue today. Don't know why.
I'm hurting today. I'm sad today. And you know, I'm going to witness that and I'm going to feel it and I'm going to communicate it to the people who need to know about it so that they can help me, so that the next time we get here, maybe we can prevent it.
But the curiosity gets to what you were saying just a moment ago of not denial, of
right.
The opposite of denial, of being curious as to what is happening to you.
Right.
Not and understanding how it feels, how it looks, as opposed to a medical diagnosis.
Absolutely. And sometimes it does, like I was saying, you know, stress, it has been connected to various other illnesses and various other mental physiological conditions. For me, I was witnessing gastrointestinal issues, and I was now going to a gastrointestinal doctor. And it took me getting curious, as you said, to be like, well, why is my stomach so messed up? What am I experiencing in my life outside of my physical body that may be contributing to this? And it was the acknowledgement that I'm not really addressing the fact that I'm going blind. I was really in denial, and that was causing so much stress that then penetrated other parts of my body. As soon as I was able to communicate about my condition, acknowledge it, I wouldn't even say accept it, because, you know, that's a very long journey.
Yeah.
But as soon as I was able to acknowledge it and be present, be more mindful with it, the other issues sort of melted away.
I'm glad I asked the question, because I wasn't going to, because I thought maybe it would be deemed silly. But that idea of curiosity and then accepting, it seems not only something that, well, it just seems like something we should do in general, doesn't it?
It's easier said than done.
Of course. But it would make life a little easier, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if we all were totally self-aware, definitely.
Yeah, self-aware, but also and curious.
Yes.
And then the word that you used before of empathetic. I mean, that's a lovely stew of things to put together.
Yeah, it's that ability to not really judge ourselves and our own thoughts, which is we tend to be the hardest on ourselves, and we tend to judge our thoughts. You know, you sit down to meditate, something comes into your mind and you judge it. You put labels on it, you place a story on it, but that act of mindfulness is really just, oh, it's there. That's how I feel. And that is what it is. It's not even good. It's not even bad. It just is.
Well, somebody once told me that self-deprecation, while is a way of kind of breaking the ice, it often can be damaging, because then people think you're okay with like labeling yourself as broken in some way.
Yeah, I would definitely steer clear of that.
Yeah.
We don't want to place those labels on ourselves, because what is broken? I mean, nobody's broken.
No. But also it's a way of kind of putting itself, letting another person think, oh, it's okay.
Right,
but then
exactly.
But it's also okay to say, it's not all that great.
Like if you use words like that about yourself, I'm stupid. Or
yeah,
I'm,
exactly.
I am a loser. Then the next thing you know, you might hear someone else call you those things.
Loser. Exactly. Sure. And it's a way of diverting, and yet it can also be damaging.
Absolutely.
Your work is beautiful. It is Beyond My Battle. You can find them online, beyondmybattle.org, beyondmybattle.org. They can find the toolkit. As you mentioned, those utilities are free, and you can check them out. Mm-hmm. Also, the Beyond My Battle Art with Heart and Hope is an exhibition celebrating the healing power of art. The event takes place on May 9th from 6 to 9. That is a Thursday night, I believe. It's from 6 to 9 at the Spring Street Gallery in Saratoga Springs, New York. Have a beautiful, beautiful time.
Thanks
and thank
for
you
having me.
Very much for sharing. Martel Caruano is the co-founder of Beyond My Battle. It's beyondmybattle.org. Martel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.